Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich. And tonight, we've got our food guru in the house. Woo-hoo! Miss Katie Fitzgerald is back with us. I know. I am so excited. Hey, Miss Amy, how are you tonight?
I'm good, but I'm kind of confused because I'm not sure which season I'm in. So I'm really hungry because I've been waiting to eat till I find out what season I'm in and what I should be eating.
Well, I'm really excited. I'm really excited about this show because we're going to be looking at seasonal eating with the what, where, and how, and why, and how did that go, and why did I do that, and I don't know how detailed we're going to get into all that, but anyway, Miss Katie, how are you?
Woohoo! I'm great. I'm absolutely fabulous. Just back from vacation where I got to eat a lot of local seasonal food.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And just to remind everybody, she was actually sharing with us before we went live about all the stuff that she was doing. And we have a really great show. It's TC352, and it's actually prepping for your vacation. And she was sharing with us some of the stuff she did and didn't do to get herself ready. And, oh, boy, vacation doesn't start when you get on the plane. It should be 3 or 4 weeks before you actually get there just to make sure that you have the best vacation you possibly could. So that's kind of my little promotion for that great show. And, boy, I was looking back on some of the other shows that we've done with you, Katie, and there's just so great shows. TC327 was making food your friend for the holidays, and we did that last year, I think in October, early November, and it's so great to be able to feel like I can eat my way through the holidays and actually, you know, have minimal guilt and not even really no guilt at all in being able to look at that. And the fact that we're kind of the end of the summer here and moving into the holidays again, you know, what that's going to look like. And, you know, it's knowledge is power, and being able to have that where you can really just go into the holidays embracing it and just having all kinds of fun with food instead of having being something where you're going to feel bad. And then we did TC339, which was growing with just learning about food and having it be with your nutrition. And that was, she was so gracious to be a part of our show. It was our final show we did on Codependent No More. And I really want to thank you for that show. That show was so great. Just having a voice from somebody who really knows about nutrition, knows about the power of food, and how that could be something that can, so just again, we can friend it and not have it something that overpowers us and what it's really about. So really want to encourage everybody to go back to those shows. But boy, let's get started with this conversation. I think it's going to be really great. We're looking at seasonal eating, and boy, what is that to begin with, and why would that be something that we need to be aware of as we move into the fall?
Sure. Well, you know, it's so interesting is that our bodies were designed to work within the seasons, but in our modern life, we really separate ourselves quite a bit from Mother Nature's cycles. In the summertime, for instance, we have air conditioning. In the wintertime, we have all the lights on in the house so we can read until 10 p.m. at night or watch television or what have you. But in reality, our bodies are designed to work with nature. But nature doesn't just shift from summer to fall with a flip of a switch. And so there's changes that take place. And those changes, such as shorter days, which means less hours of daylight, cooler weather outdoors as we start to see the temperatures dropping, what we wear how we sleep at night are going to be impacted. And then we're moving out of the summertime into the fall, where in the summer it's all about relaxing, going on vacation, just kind of taking it easy, not being too stressed out, and yet fall is, quote-unquote, back to school, even if you're not going back to school. It's really a time where we say, okay, put away the bathing suit and the beach hat, and it's time to get back to work. So we've got a lot of changes that are happening, and they change rapidly that can actually disrupt our body's balance, both physically and mentally. And we all know that when you're out of balance, this is when you get sick. and we don't want to enter the fall season sick. We also don't want to waste this transition period where we have this opportunity to kind of look back on what we did and what we accomplished in the summer, and then look forward and start to plan for the future. So this is why, for me, healthy living by the season is something that we should look at quarterly every time there's a season shift. And we can start to take some gradual steps right now, which we would consider late summer, and work our way into early fall, then to late fall as we get ready to transition to winter. And, you know, I always joke about it and say the weather doesn't change overnight unless you happen to live in Las Vegas, Nevada, where on June 1st, it automatically flips to 100 degrees and it doesn't drop down until October. But it really isn't, it really isn't that quick of a change. It's a gradual change. And if we are out in nature right now, as we start to observe the shorter days, observe the cooler temperatures coming in at night, we can help our bodies acclimate gently. And I'll give you a quick little anecdote. Actually, it's kind of ironic that we're talking about this tonight, because I walked out the front door at around 6 p.m. to go do an errand, and I went, whoa, it got cold all of a sudden outside. It's like 83 degrees earlier today, and now I had to put long pants on and grab a light jacket. So had I not left my house, I wouldn't have realized that that transition's starting. Also, the sun is already gone, and you know, the sun about 3 weeks ago would have still been up. So, again, we need to start to adjust. And that's what the seasonality concept is. And when it comes to seasonal eating, if you look up a definition, it's basically eating food that's produced in natural production, the natural production season. That means when nature says this is when tomatoes ripen, and then consumed within the same climatic zone as where it was grown. So this is what we call local seasonal eating. It means eating the food nature made for your region at this time of the year. It does not mean strawberries in December when you live in California. Those strawberries did not come from California. They came from Argentina. So this is really vital because, again, if we're going to adjust back to this, to nature, if we're going to work with nature and have nature keep us healthy and happy, we want to make sure we're eating the foods that nature's providing in our back door, not the food that nature's providing in someone else's back door. Now, the Argentinians, go ahead. If you're in Argentina right now listening to this, go ahead and eat your strawberries in December. But don't eat them in June, because then they're coming from California or Mexico. So,
Katie, just a point. You just came from vacation in Hawaii, and so their foods, right, their season is a little bit different than ours. So, and I know you're so great at preparing before you go someplace. So, you know, maybe, you know, if we're going to be doing some traveling, maybe looking at what's local. I guess a good way to do that, at least Robin and I did some of that when we were in Hawaii, find a farmer's market
Absolutely.
What's there, you know, in that area.
Yeah, in fact, that brings up a really good point. How do you eat local and seasonal? That's exactly the first advice I would give, is go find your local farmer's market. And whatever they're selling is going to be what's in season, because they're not importing things from other areas. They're going to sell to you what was ripe on their farm. And quite honestly, they're going to sell to you what was really ripe on their farm, because it's so ripe, it's not going to have enough shelf life to make its way into bigger distribution. So they have to bring it close by, which is why when you buy at a farmer's market, you want to take that food you just bought and make something with it that night. Don't let it sit around for a week and a half in your refrigerator. Go for it. Because it's at its
really
peak,
good point.
Right?
And yeah, Katie, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. So, you know, here we're in California, and then people that are living in the West, yeah, they're going to have their farmer's markets. What about people back East once the snow comes and all that? How are they going to know what they should be eating once the weather really changes and there's not really any farm production going on?
That's a great, great, great question. And here is how they'll know. The price tells all. When you walk into the grocery store and you see strawberries, for instance, one, you know, the big container of strawberries, and it says $1.99 for this huge thing of strawberries, you're looking at in-season fruit. When it says $4.99, you're looking out of season. So let the price tell you what's in season and what's not. When you see huge specials on, like, for instance, in the springtime, you see specials on asparagus, right? asparagus $1.99, $2, what have you. Well, right now, if you were to go look for asparagus in the grocery store, I guarantee you're going to see it between $4.99 a pound and $6.99 a pound. It is not in season. So let the price tell you. And when in doubt, if you want to be a little more proactive than looking at prices, especially if you're not as price sensitive as I am, I grocery shop pretty much every other day because I'm very European in my meal planning. But I know the price of things. I know what they would normally be. And when I see them outrageously high, I steer clear. When I see them outrageously low, I stock up. So the other way to do it, though, is there's two fabulous websites that I heavily rely on, and we'll make sure these are posted with the radio show. One is called seasonalfoodguide.org, and this comes from Grace Communications Foundation. So it's seasonalfoodguide.org. What I love about them is you actually can put in your state, the month you're looking at, and you click go, and it'll show you what's in season. And for each of the foods that are in season, it has a little button that says learn and cook. So you can click on that button and learn a little bit more about that particular food, its nutritional value, how to prep it, how to store it, and maybe you usually have the recipe. That's one website. And then my other favorite website, although it is for California specifically, but it has seasonal charts that explain to you what season most foods are in, regardless of where you're located, is what's called CUESA.org, CUESA.org. And this website Cultivating a Healthy Food System is their logo, their motto, so to speak. They are all about telling you where in California you can get the seasonal food. So they have seasonal charts anyone can look at, regardless of where you live. They have what's in season this month, and then they have lots and lots of recipes. So between those two websites, seasonalfoodguide.org and CUESA.org, you should be able to get some good ideas. One thing I will tell you about seasonalfoodguide.org, I love that site because I can actually click and say, what's in season late August? What's in season early September? So I can get very fine-tuned. And, for instance, if you did that little search right now for Nevada, because I know Amy's in Nevada, what you're going to find is in season in August, late August, are apples and pears and things of that nature. But when we move into early September, you're going to notice the pears go away and arugula pops in. So we'll be able to really fine-tune what we're eating to be real seasonal. And in a moment, I'll talk a little bit more about how do you use this information. What do you do with it?
Yeah, what do we do with the
information? Other questions?
I had a side question. I've heard that it's good to you want to eat before dark, and then you want to go ahead and wait till mid morning to go ahead and start eating again, and kind of allow your body to go into a mini fast.
Absolutely. So your body, and you're 100% correct. Ideally, you want to have 12 hours between your last meal of the day and your first meal of the next day. Ideally. If you can go even more hours than that, that's even better. So what that translates into is if your last meal, you finish your last meal at 7 p.m., you should not eat your breakfast before 7 a.m. And if you can, extend it till 9 a.m. And the reason for that, as you alluded to, Robin, is a quote-unquote mini-fast, which is why we call it breakfast, right? We're breaking the fast. But the real reason that you want to do that is it takes your body, typically if you're eating a good, healthy diet based on whole foods, not the grocery store, but foods in the packaging nature intended. Those foods, it takes you about 4 hours for your body to complete the digestive process. The absorption process continues on, but the digestive process should be finished in about 4 hours. At the end of that 4 hours, at the end of the night when you finally go to bed, your liver, which has been spending its whole day digesting as part of the digestive team, it has to turn its attention now to one of its other major functions, which is its detoxification processes, removing the metabolic waste that your body's created, as well as toxins that made their way in and parasites and viruses, et cetera, that made their way in through your food or your environment. So your liver, by the way, is your best friend. You should be very nice to it. It does a bazillion jobs in your body. Okay, maybe I'm over-exaggerating maybe not a bazillion. I think it's something close to 400 different functions. So, but
wow.
The number one is digestion, and the number one is detoxification. But if you never let your liver have enough time to do the detoxification processes, it doesn't work overtime, all right? As soon as you start eating again, it shuts down the detoxification processes, and it goes to digestion, and it has to store the stuff it didn't get to process. So I want you right now to envision Lucy and Ethel at the assembly line with the chocolate.
I'm there.
Can't say more. That's what your liver looks like when you don't give it time. So please give it time. Yeah. Love your liver.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's fascinating. So, all right, so the 12 hours. So would you drinking water be okay during those 12 hours?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Herbal tea, green tea, water with lemon, all of those things would be perfectly appropriate during those times. And I'll tell you, I pretty much have been on this type of a program. I actually go about 16 hours between my last meal and my first meal. But it took me a while to get there. But once you've trained your body to do it, it actually becomes natural. And you almost can't eat first thing in the morning. You're just like, whoa, this is way too much. And you'll notice that your body also, when you do that, when you give your body a chance to do its full detoxification processes, you're going to notice things like your skin looks better. You sleep better. You have less digestive issues. And if you've been holding on to some extra weight, you might notice it just kind of falling off. And so, because of course, you know, where does the liver store a lot of the stuff that it can't process? It stores it in your fat cells. So that's just kind of a little thing to keep in mind.
So something
Thank you so much.
That I've been doing and want to make sure this makes sense. And it's really interesting. You and I have not had that conversation about the 12 hours, but I find myself naturally doing that. So that makes sense. It's like, okay, now I get that. But so one of the things I've been doing is drinking, when I get up, a big glass of water with apple cider vinegar with the mother in it. Before I, you know, drink tea, before I do anything, to kind of get myself settled. Is that a good way to go?
That's an excellent way to go. That actually primes your metabolism. It helps it to kind of get going. And those of you who can't tolerate the apple cider vinegar, because that is an acquired taste, I can attest. and it's the reason it works is because it's very acidic. So you can also do the same thing with lemon. And, in fact, for people who want to do apple cider vinegar, add a little lemon in the beginning to kind of transition yourself, and you'll develop those taste buds. Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because as we go into the fall, you're going to notice the sun gets up later, and it goes to bed earlier. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we kind of want to follow that rhythm with our food, okay? So we don't want to be eating in the dark in the morning, and we don't want to be eating in the dark at night. So if you think about the winter, think about bears. They hibernate, right? They do that to conserve energy, and we kind of want to do the same thing. We're going to start to move towards a conservation mode rather than running around out in the sunshine all day long, but we'll talk about sun in a moment. So we want to start to observe the daylight hours and start to get in rhythm with that. So I would highly recommend that if you can, if you're in an area where the temperatures are appropriate, eat your dinner al fresco at night just before the sun goes down, so your body starts to see the sun going down and it starts to shut itself down for the evening. And then for the morning, if you're accustomed to getting up, if you have to get up at 5 a.m. because that's your time to get up, get yourself one of those alarm clocks that gradually turns a light on so that when your alarm actually finally goes off, the room is actually lit up to help you transition. So, but our bodies are, you've heard the circadian rhythm. Well, the circadian rhythm is literally set by the sun. So if we don't get sun, our circadian rhythms get out of whack, and when they get out of whack, our health deteriorates, which is why shift workers, people who work at night, I won't bore you with all the statistics, but they have some of the worst health outcomes of anybody because their bodies are completely fighting against an unnatural rhythm for them, for their bodies. So let's. Why don't we talk a little bit about how to incorporate these seasonal foods and then a couple quick little lifestyle things to be thinking about as well. The first thing I would tell you when it comes to the food is shop local, go to your farmer's market. And what I recommend you do is each week you go to the farmer's market, find one to two, maybe three different foods that are have popped up into the market that you haven't seen since last, you know, whenever. It's like, oh, I haven't seen kohlrabi since, gosh, February, right? So here's the kohlrabi. Then grab the kohlrabi, and you're like, what the heck is kohlrabi, and what do I do with it? You go to one of those websites that I mentioned, and you look it up, and they'll tell you what to do with it. By the way, it's part of the cabbage family, and it's delicious. So, but the idea is once a week, go to the farmer's market, pick up 1 to 2, 3 new produce items that you haven't seen in a while, look up a recipe or two, and make some food, and enjoy these new foods while you're still enjoying the ones you've been enjoying for the summer. One thing I will tell you is when you go to the farmer's market and they no longer have apricots, then they no longer have apricots. Don't eat them, right? Those of you in Nevada, you can take this with a grain of salt and decide what you want to do with it, but avocados are not grown in Nevada, so they are never in season. So that's why they're always going to be horribly expensive. If you want an avocado once in a while, go for it. But otherwise, look around and see what else is in season that is unique to Nevada, because there's definitely things unique. One of my other favorite things to do is to exchange recipes with a friend. So you tried kohlrabi this week, and your next-door neighbor, she tried sunchokes, which, by the way, are coming into season very soon. They're delicious. They're better than potatoes. You roast them up just like a potato, and they're the most delicious thing you'll ever eat. And they have a very, very, very short season. Get them while you can. But if your friend did something with sunchokes and you did something with kohlrabi, exchange recipes, share the wealth. And then my other favorite thing to do is right now is when that last crop of tomatoes, the last crop of zucchini, the last crop of summer squash are all coming into their final stages. And there's no reason for that stuff to be thrown out. You're going to start to see the zucchini get smaller and smaller in the grocery store. Tomatoes get smaller and smaller as well. Take those tomatoes that are still $1.99 a pound, not $3.99 a pound, and preserve them. Make marinara sauce, make salsa with your zucchinis and your other squashes. Pickle them. Pickle the cucumbers. So take those late summer produce and preserve them. And you can even, by the way, make a jam out of tomato that's to die for. So that way you have a little taste summer to bring into the fall. All right? Those are some of my tips. And my transition plate for you is that every week you should be adding 1 or 2 new items. And every week you should be graciously releasing those produce items that are no longer showing up. Don't grieve the loss of the plums and the nectarines. Celebrate them, be grateful for them, and in one of the lifestyle suggestions I have for you will really show you a way you can celebrate them. Any questions?
That just sounds so great. You know, I've been going over to Claremont lately because I've been doing a laughter yoga class over at Feeling Groovy Wellness, and it's been so fun to go every week to the farmer's market and see what's there, because like this last week was all about grapes, tons of grapes everywhere.
Oh, cool.
And they had green plums, which was really great.
Ooh.
I had never really seen or even known about a green plum, and they were delicious. Yeah, they kind of have a tangy, sweet flavor that goes with them. So when we're going into the transition, you had shared before again with before we got on the show about the importance of sleep, and I thought that was really an interesting thing.
Absolutely. One of the things that happens when we're in the summer vacation mode, you may not have realized it, but you actually are sleeping a lot more and probably a lot deeper than you do at any other time of the year. And that's because we have these really, really long days, right? And the longer the day, the more pooped out you are when you go to bed, so, which is the reality. So there's this temptation as we start to get back into productivity mode and the sun goes down sooner, there's this temptation to just keep going. And because the sun has gone down, we're ignoring it. So don't ignore the sun. Make sure you get sufficient sleep, because if you do nothing else for your health, getting a good 8 to 9 hours of quality sleep a night will have the biggest positive impact on your overall well-being, both physical and mental health, over your lifetime. That's the one single thing you can do that really can make a difference. So my suggestion for a good night's sleep, there's lots and lots of science out there. I'm not going to go deep into this. I will recommend a few resources. But one thing to do is when the sun goes to bed, you go to bed. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to sleep, but it does mean you should to wind down, okay? If you do that now in the late summer, early fall, by the time winter comes, it will not be such a rude awakening that the sun's gone down at 4. Because every day you will have been going to kind of shut down earlier and earlier and earlier, and you won't really notice that all of a sudden, boom, it's dark at 5 p.m. So it'll just be there and you'll be with it. Also, turn off all electronics, any laptop, Nook, iPad, Kindle, whatever's got a light on it, your cell phone, turn them all off at least 60 minutes before you do want to go to sleep. That includes your television screen. And ideally, when the sun goes down, turn your lights in your house down. Don't brighten them up. Start to bring them down a little bit. This is all going to visually cue your body to start to create serotonin and melatonin to put you to sleep. And then wake with the sun. So set your alarm clock. You can look up what time the sun rises. They give you that on weather.com. So look up what time the sun rises. If you don't have to be up at the sunrise for work, lucky you. But I'm going to recommend you go ahead and get up anyway. Set your alarm to get yourself up around sunrise. And again, it's each week it's going to get later and later and later, right, which is the nice thing. You're going to bed earlier and earlier, too, and you're starting to get that good restorative sleep. And then eat some foods that are rich in sleep-supportive nutrients. I mentioned serotonin and melatonin. They require very specific nutrients for them to be created in your body. Some of the nutrients you want to look for are things like selenium, which is a mineral. My favorite source of that is cremini mushrooms. If you want, I'm going to give you a bunch of different types of nutrients, but the best place to go look up what foods are rich in those nutrients is a website called whfoods.org. That's worldshealthiestfoods.org, whfoods.org. And you look it up and they'll give you, for if you say selenium, they'll show you the foods that are highest in selenium. Vitamin C, by the way, selenium also is good for your immune function, which is going to be very vital as we move into the fall. Remember that these transition times are where we can get a little compromised and our immune system needs a booster. Vitamin C is also very important for sleep. The lower your blood levels of vitamin C, the more sleep issues you will have. And you'll be prone to wake up, so you want to make sure you get enough vitamin C. Tryptophan, the famous little amino acid that's found in turkey. The reason that you fall asleep after eating your turkey at Thanksgiving. It's not the tryptophan that made you fall asleep. It's actually the fact you ate so many calories. But this nutrient is really, really vital. Without tryptophan, this particular amino acid, your body cannot make serotonin. And serotonin is the precursor for melatonin, and melatonin is what puts you to sleep. The other ingredient, nutrient that I really look after is potassium, because also potassium and deficit in potassium can cause things like leg cramps and nervousness at night. Calcium, which goes hand in hand with potassium, if you don't have sufficient calcium, you could have disturbances in what's called your REM, rapid eye movement sleep, which is one of the phases of deeper sleep. Good sources of calcium, not milk. I bet you all thought I could say milk. Collard greens, kale, mustard greens, sardines, sea veggies. All of these are very, very high in calcium, and calcium is very bioavailable, meaning that your body can actually do something with the calcium. It doesn't just pass through you. And then vitamin D, which is going to bring me to my next topic, which is the sun. Vitamin D, without vitamin D, you are going to have excessive daytime sleepiness, and you're going to have not good nights of sleep. So before I move from sleep, any questions on sleep before I talk a little bit about that vitamin D and how vital sunshine is at this time of year before it goes away for the winter time?
I think we're good.
Mm-hmm. You're doing a great job, as always.
So with sunshine, the big and most important part here is that you need to stockpile it, okay? Mm. So just because the sun's starting to go down and the summer's over, you don't want to go hit the gym and do the treadmill. If you can, get outside and walk. The ideal here is you want to get at minimum 20 to 30 minutes of sun exposure on your arms and legs, not your face, no sunscreen between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. And what this will do for you, if you do this September through October, is it will help stockpile the sunshine vitamin, the vitamin D, because your body actually creates this vitamin from interaction of a pre-hormone on your skin when it interacts with UVA radiation from the sun. If you're concerned about getting burnt, the idea here is that the amount of time you should be out is about 50% of the amount of time it would take before you would get a little pink. So if you get a little pink in 20 minutes, you should go out for 10 minutes. So those people who do burn a little bit easier are going to probably need to supplement with vitamin D during the winter. But you do want to stockpile that vitamin D because it's not just important for sleep. Vitamin D is important in regulating all sorts of different functions in your body, including memory, mood, the ability to sleep well, hormone balances within all of your hormonal systems, and also your body's ability to use calcium, potassium, and magnesium. So vitamin D is vital. And I think the last thing I want to share with you all, I alluded to it earlier, is that, you know, this is a transition period, so use this period. Look back and reflect, look forward and plan. So the look back and reflect, I recommend you grab a journal, and every day for, say, 10, 15 minutes, write about your summer. One of my favorite things to do is to write, list your 10 favorite memories of summer, and you know, take one memory a day and really write about it. Write, and if you've got souvenirs from summer, if you've got a receipt from a favorite restaurant or a shell you picked up at a beach or what have you, put that in your journal. And then another topic you could write about as you get closer to fall, you know, so maybe in September, mid-September, late September, six things you want to accomplish at the end of this year. Like, what are the things you want to see happen between now and December? And then I'd also say 10 things that you're proud of that you've accomplished this summer, 10 things that you want to brag about to yourself and pat yourself on the back. Because this is a vital, vital exercise as we transition, because it will help us to know, not grieve those nectarines, but instead to write about that amazing nectarine crumble that you made with those gorgeous, you know, white nectarines from your own garden. And that's the story I'll be writing in my journal. I can almost taste those nectarines. They were so incredible. So, and I have a picture of them, and I'm going to put that in my journal. So use this time to really, you know, fall it forward, right? It's fall forward with the clock. So let's fall forward. Let's move forward with some real positive momentum. That's all
Great.
I have to
say. Yeah. Thank you, Katie. So how can people get a hold of you if they have any personal nutrition questions that they might have they'd like you to go ahead and help them with?
So they can either reach out to me on my website, which is enhancedhealthsolutions.com, or they can email me at cfitz, that's F-I-T-Z, at enhancedhealthsolutions.com, or give me a call, 702-605-0218.
Okay, good. And if you, Amy, you want to go ahead and let them know, we've got a special event coming up with Katie that's going to be in Las Vegas. You want to go ahead and let them know about that?
With the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, the Hidden Heroes program that we do with Life After Active Duty, we get to have Katie in person. Yay! So that'll be September 15th from 10 to 11:30 a.m., and we're really excited about that, and we're excited to have the podcast to share with those Hidden Heroes all over the country, not only concerned about their seasonal eating, but for their veteran, too. So I think that's really cool. You're not only helping them, but you're also helping their veteran. Also, I want to put in a bid to have quarterly season podcasts with you. So we get ready, and I really love, like Robin had mentioned, about the preparing for your vacation. That was a wonderful podcast. So especially in the holidays, right, you have vacations coming up too, so you want to get ready for those. And also about how do we eat smart as we're moving into those holidays. So we have those things, they'll be there for you. And we've already booked Katie for the fall of 2018 to do a book club on her upcoming book. We don't know the title yet, but we don't care. We're going to do it anyway.
It's, we're getting it early for the holidays next year, so, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving. We're very excited
That's
about
right. That. So pre-order now.
Yeah, exactly. For right now, Katie will be finishing that up and having it ready for fall for next year. So, you know, like I said, it's, you know, food is so important, and it's such a gift from the planet to ourselves and for our loved ones that to have Katie here just being our food guru. Just thank you so much, Katie. It's such important information and such giving information that can just really have a place of health and wellness that just keeps on giving.
Well, thank you for having me once again, and I very much enjoy working with both of you to help disseminate this healthy message. That's really what I'm about. Food is
yes.
food is
okay.
medicine, and food is yummy. So don't eat your
yes,
food.
Yes, it is.
Enjoy.
Yeah, and we're glad we're in the cafe because let's eat, you know.
That's right.
I want to thank all of our listeners. And again, remind everybody you can go over to the transformation-cafe.com. And we'll have some extra notes from Katie about that. We'll make sure the website that she's listed will be on our podcast. And just thank you again for listening. We look forward to your questions, comments, any ideas you'd like to have for previous shows, some post shows. We know we're really looking forward to that. And we'll see you next time here at the cafe. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.